Bookie's got the new ball for this week's Fair or Farce.
Righto, so if we're going to go straight into it. The Adelaide Crows have been listed by the bookies as premiership favourites, but the bookies have it wrong. Fair or Farce?
Oh, this one kind of hurts me, Hookie. I've had to go fair. I think Crows are favourites to be playing in the grand final, but favourites to win the premiership is a difficult thing to say just quite yet. There's a lot of footy to come. They're going to most likely, or looks like they're going to be likely facing Collingwood at the MCG in the grand final if the standings are to stay the same. And, I mean, Collingwood are going to be a hard beat at the MCG. We've played them, obviously, once already this year, and we lost by 10 points. Crows are a young side, and there's something different about finals, the pressure that that brings. And I think, look, it's a tough ask. Do I think it's out of the realm of possibility? Absolutely not. But I don't think we can jump to them being the premiership favourites just yet.
I'm pretty comfortable with it, Soph. I think Farce. I think they are the premiership favourites, and I think they belong there. And I think the bookies have probably got it about right. They're the number one team in the competition. They're on a wonderful winning streak. Collingwood, as you've just mentioned, is the most obvious challenger for that title. They've lost three of their last four and really seem to be in a bit of a funk at the moment. If Adelaide can finish top two, I mean, they've got a huge game against Collingwood in a fortnight, but if Adelaide can finish top two and they get two finals at home and then have to go to the MCG, which will be for a grand final, which will be the most benign place to play Collingwood at the MCG. If you get them in a preliminary final, that's a really tough ask, because the Collingwood army being there, getting behind their fans, is a really intimidating place to try and win a preliminary final. But if you can do that at home and then face a club like Collingwood, where all the corporates are there and all of the neutral supporters are there for the grand final, I think I give them a huge chance. So, yep, right now, the way they're travelling, the fact that they're going to have potentially a very, very good finals run, and the fact that they're going to maybe get their toughest game at the MCG when they're possibly going to be in the best shape and got the best opportunity to take on an opposition, I think they are the number one ranked team right now, and I'm very excited to see what happens over the next 8 weeks.
Look, Cookie, I don't love rooting for you, but I've never rooted so hard in my life to hope that you were right for this one. I'd be all here for a premiership, but I'm sticking with my fair so far. I'm going to throw it straight back at you. Oscar Piastri is Australia's best sportsman right now. Fair or farce?
Yeah, good question, Soph. Fair. It's tight, though, isn't it? He's 9 points clear after the Hungarian Grand Prix that was Sunday night. Could have been 20 plus, if not for a little minor mistake as he tried to run down Lando Norris in those last couple of laps. I got to say, I feel like the McLaren team, a British brand with a British driver, seem to be very supportive of Lando over Oscar. And the way they structured that one-stop strategy for Lando, I think, gave him a huge advantage because it was always going to be difficult to pass. But having said that, look, Oscar's right in it. He's only young. He's aiming to be our third ever Formula One world champion. It's a bit of a fickle sport. Max Verstappen might still be the best driver on the grid, but he's clearly in an inferior car with Red Bull right now. So who knows where we're going to be next year, the year after, 10 years down the track. But right now, I think it is very tough to argue that there is anyone ahead of Oscar Piastri. I'll give you three names that I think might be in the conversation. Josh Giddey, playing NBA with the Chicago Bulls, and seems to be on that upward trajectory that he's going to be someone very special in the next 5 years. Patrick Cummins, I always find it hard to go past the Australian Test captain, in particular with how well they've done in the last 5 years. What have they won? 15 of their last 18 test matches, and he's played an integral part of that. And then Jordan Mailata. Now, that's a name that not will be on everyone's list, but he's on everyone's lips, I beg your pardon, but he's the offensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. They won the Super Bowl in February. He's rated the number one offensive tackle in the game. Hard to believe that someone from rugby league has become such a huge influence in the world of American football, but I've probably got Oscar right now just ahead of those three. So there you are, fair. That is Oscar Piastri, the number one sportsman in Australia right now. So I'm going to give you one more. Selling the Super Netball Grand Final, giving the fourth-ranked team, the Melbourne Vixens, home advantage over the first-ranked West Coast Fever, makes a mockery of the spirit of competition. Fair or farce?
I've gone fair, Ben. Look, the Super Netball opted to put a price on the decider ahead of the 2022 season. So that meant Vixens on the Saturday became the third side in 4 years to claim the premiership in their home state after their government pre-purchased the match. Now, the thing interesting about this is the last two premierships to be won is by a home ground advantage with a prepaid match is Fever in 2022 and the Thunderbirds in 2024. But actually, they would have hosted based on their final results regardless. So, look, 2025, it's the first time this has ever happened. They had a record crowd of 1,500 at their home ground, and it went to a 59-58 loss, 1 point. If it had been a whitewash, I'd be saying, look, I don't think it made a difference. But 1 point, I think having your home ground there has made a massive difference. Look, I will say, though, Netball Australia looks like they do need the money and they are in a position, and this is an easy way to be able to get that funding. And they did know that they were going to be playing the final in Victoria well before they got there. So maybe they should have been preparing like that a bit more harder, but it's hard to beat a crowd of 15,000, and that is an enormous advantage for any team.
So I think you've missed the whole point of this. This is an absolute farce. This is the real world. This is how sport works. The AFL Grand Final is always at the MCG because the Victorian government pays for it. The Super Bowl every year in American football is for sale to the town who wants to host it the most. The European Champions League final is for sale. The Cricket World Cup is bid on by the ICC member nations. The Olympic Games are bid on. So if you're going to tell me that a Sydney Olympic gold medalist is making a mockery of the spirit of the sport, I think we need to accept that this is what happens in every line of sport now, and netball is no different. If the netballers want more cash and they're perfectly entitled to play for it, then these are the deals that you absolutely have to do. I'm very, very comfortable with this. And the West Coast Fever, as good as they've been all year, just needed to work out a way of standing up on grand final day. This was at Rod Laver Arena, which actually wasn't the home ground of the Vixens throughout the year, so it was a bit of a neutral venue anyway. Yeah, sure, they had the home fans advantage. This is how international sport is played these days. This is what happens with the big venues and the big events. Deal with it. Toughen up. West Coast Fever, you came second for a reason.
Very fair, Ben. It's a good argument. I'll give you that. But every single year when we get to the AFL, it's always raised that it's Victorian favourites. And I don't know, Hookie. Look, I think there's an argument there.
Look, last year's grand final was Brisbane versus Sydney. It's not impossible for these sides. Yeah, look, I will say that I'm as guilty as anyone of railing against the Victorian bias that goes on in the AFL. But at the same time, there has been plenty of great instances of interstate teams that have gone to the MCG and won on the last day in September. Adelaide may well do it again this year. I'm sure that at some point the Victorians will look out a way of trying to make it even more difficult for the interstate teams. They're trying to rule out these academies and all of that sort of stuff going on. But this is the way international sport works, and you either get on board and deal with it, or if you're just going to sit here and complain, you'll never get anywhere. So I'm very, very comfortable with the fact that the Victorian government bought it and the Vixens won it. Congratulations to them.
Gosh, Hookie, we've had three fair and farces already and we've disagreed on every single one. Let me throw the last one back at you and see what happens. Port should cut their losses and farewell Ken Hinckley at home this weekend. Fair or farce?
No, this is a farce, Sophie. It's been an absolute disaster this year for Port Adelaide, and it's all by their own actions. They plotted this course, as unnecessary as it was, but now they've got to see it out because they've got a future to deal with, right? They've got to work out to what extent does Zach Butters want to stay and be a long-term one-club player at the Port Adelaide Football Club? What does Mitch Georgiades want to do? Does he want to stay and be someone who is the focal point of the Port Adelaide Football Club, or does he want to go home? What about Nasiah Wanganeen-Millera? Do they think that they can actually attract this guy, not as just someone who wants to come home, but come home and be at a successful club? This is all what they've got to ask themselves, and I think cutting and running from the plan that they set to themselves as unnecessary and as inane as it was, I think would actually be another regression in the steps that they've taken backwards this year. So I do think it's a farce. I do think they need to see out Ken Hinckley. If Ken Hinckley does finish as coach before the last game, it should be on a win, and it should be a win at home where they have an opportunity to recognise him for everything that he has done when he took over that football club when they were a dead set basket case, and just allow the fans to say thank you to him for restoring some pride in the Port Adelaide Football Club that wasn't there when he first became coach in 2013.
Ben, you'll be surprised at this. I completely agree, and I'm actually have no more things to add. You just ticked off all my notes in one, so we completely agree on this last one.
What a shock.
I know.
We finally got there, Soph. We finally found some common ground, some shared interests.
Finally.